This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. You know, I was in the middle of editing a video, and I was going to just take a little snippet from a live show I did about 2 weeks ago and release it. But then I decided I could say this again better. I don't need to make a clip. I could make something fresh and new, because I think there's some things I need to say to caveat towards it. And I think the way things are going right now, I think there's some more commentary that needs to be added, because a lot's changed in 2 weeks. So the video was originally, if you haven't seen it, it was about the famous letter from Albert Pike to Giuseppe Mazzini, which laid out the roadmap for the next 100 years worth of world wars, and how 3 world wars would be fomented, which would usher in eventually the age and loving light of Lucifer upon the whole earth, and everybody would drop all of their previous belief systems and allegiances and get on board with their ideology. And yes, a lot of people pointed out to me, and I thought I made it clear in the video, but clearly not clear enough. There's some glaring issues with this letter, because the language used is language from the mid to late 20th century, when this was supposedly written in the late 19th century. And words like State of Israel or Nazism and things like this didn't exist in that time, but they were used supposedly in this letter. So people said, well, it's a fraud. It's not real. It's not true. It was created by the enemies of Freemasonry to discredit Freemasonry, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's been highly contested. It was this came out in like the 70s or something like that, when it was actually 1911 when it was supposedly rediscovered. It was taken out from the British Museum in the 70s. And people have been arguing forever about the validity of the letter, because the language is wrong. It just doesn't fit the era it's supposedly written. And I get it. I get that, you know. So I know it's dubious, but the problem is it maps out everything too well. And what's happening currently still fits what was written, even if it was 50 years ago in the 70s when we last have any record of this thing even perhaps even existing. It's still on the nose, pretty damn perfect to what we're currently seeing. So whether it was edited or not, I still think it was released to the public, even through the internet, for us to find, because it does kind of, you know, revelation of the method, they've got to tell you what they're doing before they do it type of stuff. Somebody released this, somebody's made the masses see it and speculate over it, because I think it is still telling us something important. And I only say this because the letter explains how the Third World War will be caused by the agent of the Illuminati pitting against one of the numerous factions. So first, we'll have Israel pitted against the Muslim nations, and that will drag everybody in to kind of the end of the rope, monetarily speaking and morally speaking, dealing with this issue. All nations will get dragged into dealing with this Middle Eastern issue, and then they'll mutually destroy each other. So Israel and the Muslim nations will wipe each other out, basically. And while that's going on, they're going to unleash the nihilists and the atheists upon the masses. And Albert Pike is saying, well, you know, the atheists are responsible for the most bloody, horrible, torturous deaths and pain and suffering in the world, because they're godless. And with no morality and making their own morality, they go on to commit genocide, is basically what they're saying. So he's alluding to communism when he says the atheists and the nihilists. It's a communistic type dictatorship ideology that he was referring to. And I think we have seen exactly that. but not quite as lockstep in pattern as the letter lays out. But I do still think somebody's following this bloody map either way. Whether it's real or not, somebody's following it, you know. And I only say that because I realized, like, well, the nihilists and the atheists have been unleashed at least since the 60s. And with the rise of those ideologies, and you got your Richard Dawkins, fedora tipping types, which became a meme in themselves, you know, throughout like the 90s and the 2000s, basically spreading this doctrine and ideology. Let's separate that from the communist, horrific communist actions that took place, you know. And by the way, that isn't to say capitalism is better. I'm not saying that. I'm just pointing out facts about one side. That does not instinctively, that does not just mean, okay, well, he must be on the other side. Get out of that left-right paradigm in your head, okay? But what can be said is the atrocities and genocide caused by outright communism being tested in many places is obvious and apparent. And I think that itself has shown that atheism and nihilism and materialism, shall we say, in a sense, through capitalist atheism, because that does exist, you know, the extremes of capitalism and communism through an atheistic scientific borderline, you know, materialistic view has proven to be useless and fruitless, and it destroys everything, including the earth, through capitalist greed and destroying of resources, to communist greed and the control of resources, which causes genocide and starvation and everything else. It's just terrible. It's just a terrible way. Without the guiding light of some kind of benevolent god, humanity falls into absolute disrepair and genocide every time. That's the problem. And I think that has been unleashed. That's been happening. That the latter part of the 20th century is the end result screaming issue with that way of thinking and that ideology. And I can't help but feel maybe coming down the line in the future, an extreme mass depopulation event due to trust the science, you know, causing people to do stuff to themselves out of fear. Wink, wink, nod, nod, not really allowed to talk about it, may cause mass die-offs in the future, which will once again prove people who wholly trust men and their doctrines and ideas through science and atheism, and you know, loosely speaking, it ends with death and misery. I feel like that's happening. If you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, and at the same time, what's been unleashed into the public is this social Marxist, we call them left-wing people, who are terrifying. I mean that. It seems like they want to kill anybody who disagrees with them. They think anybody who disagrees with them, and they'll tell you themselves, is a fascist. And there's only one thing you do when dealing with a fascist, right? Well, you kill them. That's how they believe and think and behave in the world. They don't have any other way of viewing it. They consider themselves the morally superior people, and anybody who disagrees with them must therefore be morally inferior. That's as black and white as it comes in their minds. So they can justify things like murder, because from the atheistic, nihilistic viewpoint, which they tend to have, well, what does it matter if you kill somebody anyway? Doesn't mean anything. Life is meaningless. One life is meaningless and worthless. If that killing one person can change the world closer to my ideological worldview that I want to see everywhere, then why not do that? Why not? The ends justify the means. Life has no value intrinsically from that worldview. And we're seeing those people now everywhere. And I do think the whole Charlie Kirk incident, say what you want about the whole event, the outcome among the general populace is a new understanding and mindset from a lot of what you would call more central or right-leaning people, is that society is full of individuals who will kill us for disagreeing with them. That's the general fear that's been fermented within the minds of the masses because of that event in general. We've become hyper-aware that, oh, there's a serious ideological parasite in civilization which is eating away at us and is murderous. And we're actually in danger, and we didn't realize it. You know, it was a fifth column within our civilization that we had no idea was there until it was too late, because people weren't paying attention to what was going on in the schools, you know, where they were indoctrinated with all of these ideologies. And I feel like that fear, that whole scenario I've just described is what was in that letter. They've unleashed the nihilists and the atheists, and they even explains which will cause the people to have to fight back internally within their countries against these revolutionaries. And that's going to cause civil war within the countries, while they're also dealing with this overarching massive war in the Middle East that's dragging them all in as well. And I think this whole conflict itself will be described in the future as the Third World War. It was an ideological battle within every single country, between the left and the right, as well as this huge battle between East and West, all coming together in the center in the Middle East, between this feud between Israel and Islam as well, you know, and the surrounding Islamic nations. So it's kind of, I think there's this, that's one giant war summarized altogether, where every single front is being fought, and not just simply with guns on the battlefield, but in the homes with words, and sometimes going to the extreme of guns in that case as well. It's a war on every front, verbally and physically. And that is done on purpose by the agenter of the Illuminati, divide and conquer, to completely exacerbate us, to make us exhausted on every single front, and to see that war is miserable. Religion in the Middle East has caused horrible deaths and wars that have just destroyed everything in the whole world. No religion, nihilism and atheism and communist and socialist ideals has caused the complete degradation of moral standards of civilization, created extremely low trust civilizations, and has just destroyed the family, traditions and everything. It's a country, it's a nation destroyer. Everyone's realized both are terrible as a result. Religion's terrible and so's atheism. So what are we supposed to do? And that's where Albert Pike says, once we've got them into that position, we will offer the doctrine of Lucifer. And finally, people will be looking for an answer, you know. And he even says the Christians will be restrained up until the point where we end up releasing the nihilists and the atheists. And the nihilists and the atheists, or the social Marxist types, or, you know, the left, as we call them traditionally today, they would be attacking Christianity for so long that eventually the Christians snap. I think this is what he wants them to do. He wants them to break. So the Christians clap back and then realize, like, what have we done? We've forsaken our very first commandment of thou shalt not kill. We've forsaken it for the sake of trying to, what? Stabilize our nations, you know, I think we put our nation before God. The idea is he wants to make Christians disillusioned with Christianity, no longer knowing where to place their worship, because they'll feel like they have failed God, or God has in some way failed them because of the absolute bloody mess and turmoil that even they got involved with due to this Third World War that was fermented. And, you know, it's a long stretch to get Christians there. I don't know if Albert Pike was just being hopeful, or if whoever edited this letter and re-released it in the future was being, you know, hopeful that they could achieve such a thing. I think it's hard to get Christians to join into wars and to kill people. I think it's a very difficult thing to do. How long can they push before they make that happen? Who knows? Because I was looking at, you know, the world as is, and I've been reading some articles, and it turns out, you know, churches are filling up with young people now. And again, Charlie Kirk's death had a lot to do with that. There was a lot of people coming back to the faith through the church. And, you know, that's great. I'm all for people coming to the faith. And I don't want to be a stumbling block to people finding Jesus Christ. Absolutely not. That's a wonderful thing. But then, come on, I'm a conspiracy channel. You're going to have to let me say this, all right? I'm not trying to be cynical, as some people would describe me, or anything of the sort. It's just realistic. But as somebody who has been in the game of conspiracy for a while, I have learnt through many research and study topics, which you can find on my channel, that many of these churches are extremely corrupt. So yeah, young men and women may be coming into the churches en masse to find God, but are they going to find it in the churches? I hope so. I do, and I know there must be some good churches out there, some real good God-fearing people who just want to spread the gospel and the good news, as simple as it is, but a lot of them are sold out to public agendas. There were many churches who forced their congregations and encouraged their congregations to take the thing in 2020 as per government policy. There are many churches, even in China today, who edit their own Bibles and make sure, oh, well, Jesus actually stoned the woman, rather than saying, let he who cast the first stone, in the official Communist Party of China's version of the Bible, which is allowed in the churches. And you don't think our churches here in the West may have added their own corruption to the teachings of Christianity to capitulate and align with government policy? This is the issue. And I'm sure that you understand what the government policy is, right? Support Israel.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
And that comes with typical American evangelical preaching, but pretty much all around the Western world, wherever you want to find churches in general, Christendom, you want to go from Protestant to Catholic, it's pretty much the same. There's a pretty much a capitulation everywhere. And there's also the possible, this is just my own theory and idea, lie about the time we're actually living in. Futurist dispensationalist theology is the norm. I have theorized, because I'm a conspiracy channel, we may be way ahead on that timeline than we actually think we are. And I'll leave that there for another time. You can go research what I'm talking about there. But what I'm saying is, even though the churches may preach Jesus, which is wonderful, there's other things that they're preaching which may be antithetical to the truth. And these churches are filling up with young men who are disillusioned with civilization, no longer believing the lies the atheists and the nihilists have been teaching them for decades, searching for something traditional, searching for something that's been there for thousands of years and won't just change on them tomorrow. So let's join the Orthodox Church or the Catholic Church or something like this, you know, looking for that something more and bigger than materialism. And yes, they've gone to the churches, but I think I worry, and this is just an opinion, that many of these young men who have found Christ recently, and women as well, you know, who have come to the Christ recently because of what just happened with Charlie Kirk, let's say, has inspired them in many ways, or as a reaction to the extreme liberal left antichrist theology ideologies that have been put on them, you know, and they want to say, no, I don't want to go that way. I've seen where that goes. It goes to death and destruction and even self-mutilation and all sorts of horrible things. I'm going to go back to the churches. Well, I feel like they're basically being conscripted to join some kind of Christian army to go support Israel in the future, basically. I feel like this is what it really is. It's some kind of like conscription campaign to get the Christians on board with fighting in some way against the enemies of God. I do feel like they've joined as a reactionary to the revolutionaries. And when that's the reason you're coming to God, then you are coming at it with a fighting attitude. Your basis for coming to God is, I want to get in on the fight and be on the good side. And I feel like that is a bit of an issue. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm feeling like that's what a lot of these people are coming to these churches subconsciously or consciously are thinking and feeling. I really do. Just my opinion. I could be wrong. You know, don't take this as gospel truth or the facts. It's just my observations. But I think the Deus Vault attitude of Christianity is what many of these young people have come to the churches have behind them. And many will argue, well, what are we supposed to do? Just let our enemies roll over us? I'm not saying that. And I understand the desire and want to be on the side of God and to fight for your right to worship God and the rest of it. I really do. I do understand that. I'm not saying it's good or bad necessarily, but I'm saying I feel like there's games being played, big games being played here. And that letter, which again, was supposedly last seen in the 70s, 50 years ago, mapped out pretty damn clear what we're living through right now. And if we're just playing it out, then are we not just playing out a script somebody else wrote for us without realizing it? Are we not just running on the programming here? Has anyone stopped to think before they reacted to what's happening here? And this comes off the back of a lot more change since my last talk on this. Now we have digital ID cards being rolled out in the UK, and I'm probably going to make a whole other video on that. I planned to do a live show on it 2 days ago, but I've just had to cancel and push it back because of things happening. which are just out of my control. But I do plan to cover in the future, and I'll say a little bit now. I feel like big moves are being made towards finalizing these plans and these steps. And I think a lot of things have been built to fall. Okay, and they're going to... I think we have a lot of enemies in front of us who we believe or are fearful will take over. But I do feel like there's a lot of pulling the rug from underneath Aether's tactics happening, where we think it's going to be A, but it's actually going to be Z. Okay, it's going to be this other plan that we did not see coming at all. And I feel like they're pushing so hard right now on this digital ID thing, and the backlash is so huge that they're not going to get it through this time round. That's just, I could be completely wrong on this, trust me, but I feel like they're overplaying their hand right now and it seems a bit too obvious. I think maybe they were going to see just what the reactions were before making a choice of what to do next. Maybe they're testing the waters, but from what I can see, Keir Starmer has massively lost support, even from within his own party, over this. It's likely Reform's going to win the next election and get in and reverse, if not completely halt or stop whatever this thing was. Or if it doesn't get through this time, maybe Reform will be the party that brings in the digital ID for some reason, thinking that might make more support for those who would normally be against it now for it, because Nigel Farage says so. But again, this is too early to say. I couldn't say, but I feel like big steps are being made now. Moves are happening on the chessboard. And the people are in the middle being completely riled up and messed with in a big way. And all of this, obviously, this digital ID thing is hinging on immigration, primarily. And we all know this has nothing to do with immigration whatsoever. And we'll not even stop immigration or prevent people from working in our country illegally. Nothing's stopping them now. Why would this suddenly stop them, you know? It's neither here nor there. That's just the excuse to get it over the line, and we know that. But it all just seems a bit contrived to me. It seems a bit too obvious, a bit too on the nose. Of course, the public were going to react like this. And they knew this was too soon to push this forward. Everyone's saying, oh, well, they're scared. They're tripping over themselves. They're making mistakes. Maybe. I don't think so, though. These guys are patient. Like, this agenda has been in the works for hundreds of years. They're willing to wait another generation to put something forward if they don't want to reveal themselves too soon. So I don't know. I mean, again, maybe I am being cynical, but I feel like we are being played like a fiddle in a big way. And it's so convoluted and confusing, and everyone's so distracted right now and under fear and researching so many rabbit holes at once. Millions of people are all waking up for the first time right now because of all these terrible things that have just happened in the last month alone, that I think everyone's scrambling to try and figure out what's happening. And in that chaos is when sudden destruction will probably come down and a new order will arise. And it's not going to be what we were fighting against. It's not going to be the thing we were thinking about to begin with. It's not going to be where our attention was. That's how magic tricks work. Look over here while we do the thing over here and you're not paying attention, you know. And I feel like we're in the midst of that magic trick right now. We're looking at stuff and we're concentrating on things and we're panicking over things. And that's not the thing. That's not the thing, and I don't know what's coming next. I haven't got a prediction for you, but I can feel it. It's a feeling. It's a gut thing, and I don't know what it is. You know, we just had a massive disappointment again, haven't we? Because all the rapture believers, the day came and went on the 23rd, and it wasn't there. I'm sure that's caused a lot of disillusion between with Christians once more, and it's these mini issues and disappointments and attacks and falling away and mini hope and disappointments. Just this is one thing after another. When we gain traction, somebody gets taken out, and it's everyone's being galvanized on every front, left or right, blue or red, male, female, gay or straight. I don't know. Pick a color, black or white. Any division, any duality, anything in this world right now, all sides are being galvanized and doubling down on each other's sides. Everyone's poisoned, ready for the big fight. Whatever that is. And again, this feels like the full coming to fruition of that letter. All of it does. And we have like seen this coming for a while. And now it's finally here and happening. I think people in my community can feel this. It's kind of like, okay, so shit's getting real now. This is getting real. This is actually happening. The things we were laughed at for 10 years ago are actually happening right now. And again, maybe I'll cover that more in the live show tomorrow, Wednesday evenings. You know, I do a live show, so I'll do my truth or therapy sessions then rather than the usual Sunday. And I'll spend more of an hour kind of fleshing this out a bit more and getting into the digital ID stuff, the backlashes, the rise and fall. We'll talk about the RFID chip, which has been announced years ago, which again, we were laughed at for even considering and explaining to people. We'll talk about the Mark of the Beast and the numerous contenders we'd have had throughout history, and how people are now equating this digital ID to the Mark of the Beast. But I don't know about that. And I'll give you reasons why I think this isn't the Mark of the Beast, actually, so-called. And there's many reasons, but we'll get into that tomorrow. But for now, just to finalize and summarize my point here. The nihilists and the atheists that were unleashed upon civilization to piss off the Christians in the hopes to make them counter-react has happened. It was the social Marxist liberal left, those were the nihilists and the atheists, that were unleashed onto civilization in the latter part of the 20th and the early parts of the 21st century. And they've tightened their grip on civilization so much that we've become absolutely sick of it. And we're no longer capitulating to them, and now they are collapsing. They were an enemy that was built to fall. Built to fall. And they're falling now, and the reactionary movement to the revolutionary movement, which we just witnessed, is the rise of the Christian right. But I feel like they're being mobilized not just simply for revival, but for war. And the war and the side they're going to join or get involved with will be the Israel-Muslim war, more likely. And that's been exacerbated through immigration of Islam into the Western world, on top of the murders and the assassinations that we've seen on the media as presented to us of Christian talking heads and figureheads, cars being smashed into churches and the rest of it. You know, chaos, fear, anger and rage is being fostered on all sides and galvanized on all sides. And I do feel like there's going to be a war coming which will exterminate both Islam and Israel, the nation state of Israel, simultaneously while making the Christians completely disillusioned with their own faith. I can see that happening. I can. And it's up to us basically to not comply and to be smarter than this and to say no. As Christians, we're not called to get involved with the wars of Babylon. Babylon fights Babylon. Let that be so. We are called to come out of her. And I hope people realize this before it's too late. I do. Nobody wins when it comes to war. So there we go, guys. I'll leave that there. I'll explain more of this tomorrow. Thanks for listening to this random stream of consciousness rant. It's just something I kind of have to get off my chest. It's what I do here. My Tuesdays generally tend to be this. You know, I'm sorry if it's incohesive or didn't make much sense, but I needed to get this out and kind of formulate it, because even I'm trying to figure out what it is I think and believe here. And I'm a firm believer of say what you believe out loud so you can hear it out loud to truly know what it is you believe. And clearly I'm still trying to figure some stuff out. And I hope you're trying to figure it out with me in some way. Leave a comment down below what you think's happening here, what the long game really is. Get conspiratorial with me, you know. Let's figure this out, because big moves are being played on the chessboard. And everyone wants to blame a particular piece right now. Everyone's looking to Israel as the big bad, okay? And Israel is a powerful piece on the board. It's a queen. It can go any direction, any as far as it wants, and it has ultimate power. But even the queen is expendable. And the queen will fall to protect the king. Remember that. So let's just be careful about where we're pointing our blame, and let's see the bigger picture. Let's understand who's really playing this game. Okay? Who's our real enemy? We need to really, truly figure that out. And I know many of you out there will probably have a particular faction you want to point the finger at, whoever that is. But please understand, our battle is not with flesh and blood. I'll leave that there. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
I want you to get together.